So the title of my message this morning is Be There. And where is there? Just be there. And it's going to make sense in just a second, okay? There's a story. We're going to go back to to Sunday school for just a minute. And probably to me, one of the most impactful stories in the Old Testament is the story of the man who is accredited to being where Jesus' genealogy comes from, David. Because David, you can read the story of David and you can find yourself or a situation that you're in or have walked through or about to walk through David's life. And I believe that's why God put that in the Bible. Not only that, but David did some incredible things. We all know the story that he killed Goliath, right? And that's great. It's a Sunday school story, something we look at. And we always look at ourselves as David. Sometimes we're Goliath. But we always want to be the hero. But there is, we sat down this weekend with my boys and we watched Transformers 1. And then I had to explain, just like I have to do with Star Wars with my children, why did they make all the other ones and then go back to one? Me and Shepard argued for 15 minutes why this one's called one, but there's another one, Daddy. This ain't the first one. I was like, I know. This is an origin story. So every hero has an origin story, right? And so David is no different. And the parallels between David and Jesus, once you really dig into it, it's amazing the parallels there are between those two human beings that walked the earth. For instance, when it came time for them to find a new king of Israel, David's own father didn't think he was worthy. David's own father thought he was too small. He was too unnoticeable. He didn't have it. And so he left him doing the job and brought his other sons, the bigger ones, the stronger ones, the better looking ones, the more talented ones. Jesse brought those in front of the prophet to be anointed as king. And then what is it that they said about Jesus? What good could ever come out of Nazareth? Because see, even David's own father, David wasn't the king that Jesse wanted, but he was the king that Jesse needed. Just like Jesus is sometimes not the king that we want, but he's the king that we need. The people in the day in Jerusalem, they didn't want Jesus, but they needed him. They wanted him to come riding in on the white horse and slay everybody. They were just a couple of thousand years too early. If you read Revelation, he's coming back on a white horse. That's why we sing songs about grace and mercy. Because when he shows up on the white horse, what is it that bishops always said, has always taught? You can either, the Bible says that every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess. We have a choice. You can either choose to bow before Jesus, or one day you will be made to bow before Jesus. So this morning, if you have never bowed your knee to Jesus, I hope and pray that you do that before we leave this room this morning. But the parallels between David and Jesus are amazing. And there's this part here. David gets anointed as king, and this is where we can find ourselves in the story. David gets anointed as king. Now again, I have been known to not be a very good loser. As a matter of fact, I'm not really sure how anybody can be a good loser. You know how hard it is to lose a ball game and walk in, good game, good game, good game, good game. I always walk past the biggest guy on the team and say, good game, and then the smaller guys, good game, right? That's hard to do. But then sometimes when I have been known to be good at something, like when we played softball and I had someone like my dad to compete against, I always let dad know when I thought I did better than him. I said, yeah, you hit one home run, but Do you see how far mine went? Right? So I know that with my personality, had I have been anointed king of Israel and you told me to go back out and watch the sheep, I would have looked at Jez and said, bro, you didn't even think I was worthy to be here. God's called me king. You go watch your own sheep. What is that? That scene in Captain Phillips' movie? I'm the captain now. And I know I'm not the only one. Because I know that there are things here at our house of glory to Him that seems to be beneath kings to do. Because God has called us to do great things. But even kings have to watch sheep sometimes. So David gets anointed as king. He goes back out and is watching the sheep. Watch. And he's sitting there. And then his dad comes to him. And if watching sheep already seemed low for a king, he asked him to be a bread delivery boy. You're not big enough. You're not strong enough. You're not old enough. You're not any of these things to go fight a battle. So here, take bread to the ones that are. Here, look, you are a minister, but we need someone to take this turkey to an elderly couple that needs it. Yeah, that's great. You're very talented, but our floor in the bathroom's nasty. Or watch this. We are talented, but our media department needs help. Our children's department needs talented people to help in it, right? So nothing, there are, I don't know about all of you sitting out here, but there are statements that are made that if you catch hold of them, they can change the way you see life. Whether it be scripture, whether it be someone you trust that is guiding you in the right path, I want to read three of them to you, of mine. Is that okay? My first one comes from Bishop. You deserve what you tolerate. The next one, help me the way I need to be helped, not the way you want to help me. And that's also from me to you, but that also helps me in the way I help you. I need to help you the way you need help, not the way I think you need help. If you're out of gas, I don't bring an air compressor. I bring a gas can. And in all of the years that we've taken the students to Forward, we get something, the leaders get something out of it every time. And a few years ago, Jensen spoke a message, and I can't tell you the title of it. I can't really tell you what it was about. But he made this one statement. And is the subject matter for my message this morning. And Jensen said this, if you are too big for the small things, you are too small for the big things. If you are too big to sit and watch sheep, you're too small to lead a nation. Because what is it that Jesus said to Peter in his redemption talk that they had? Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, feed my sheep. You are here, now go back to feeding the sheep. Over and over and over again, Jesus taught these men that you may think that you're high and mighty in your mind, but the greatest, the Savior of the universe, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, the one that would become the name that is above every name, before he dies on a cross for me and you, he gets on his hands and knees and washes the feet of his disciples. That's who we should emulate with each other. But the story of David goes like this, that Jesse sends him to the battlefield with bread for his brothers who were fighting in the war. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 17, starting in verse 16, for 40 days, every morning and every evening, the Philistine champion strutted in front of the Israelite army. For 40 days and 40 nights, this champion, Goliath, marched in front of them, cocky as all get out, arrogant, which when you're 9 feet tall, you can be that way. We watched the fight Friday night, and I really wanted Mike Tyson to make Jake Paul eat his teeth. And I didn't realize it. When Jake Paul took his shirt off, and I said, oh my. I thought maybe I could. I was like, you know what? That kid would probably make me eat my teeth. Anybody that will get in there and let Mike Tyson punch him in the face can say whatever, whatever he wants to. But that's what Goliath was. For 40 days, he walked and talked and made fun of and persecuted and picked on and taunted the Israelite army. And out of the whole Goliath, that David and Goliath story, there's one statement here that I want us to catch. It's the one that sticks out to me the most. It says, so David left the sheep with one of his other shepherds and set out early the next morning. This is in verse 20 of chapter 17. With the gifts as Jesse had directed him, he arrived at the camp just as the Israelite army was leaving for the battlefield with shouts and battle cries. Soon the Israelite and Philistine forces stood facing each other, army against army. David left his things with the keeper of supplies and hurried out to the ranks to greet his brothers. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, came out from the Philistine ranks to shout his normal taunts. And here's this one statement that's in the middle of this thing that's impactful. It says, then David heard him. See, for 40 days, Goliath shouted his insults and his taunts, spewed his evil. For 40 days, no one said something, but history changed when David heard him. But watch this. If David was too big to deliver bread, he wouldn't have been there to hear him. If David was too arrogant to go to his brothers in need, he wouldn't have been there to hear him shout his taunt. If David thought he was too worthy and that was beneath him, David wouldn't have been there. We have to be where God tells us to be, no matter what vehicle he puts us in to get there. I have said this numerous times. My vehicle that God used was I would come in the afternoons and stuff the messages into envelopes that we'd send to military families. Now, I thought at the time, I thought God had called me into ministry. But they needed someone to help send those so that those people that were part of our church that were serving overseas across the world, fighting for our country, could hear the word of God be preached from their home church. And I am not a liar to stand here in front of you and say, the first time I got asked to that, I was like, ministry? This ain't ministry. Or when you get the phone call as a youth pastor at 2 a.m. that so-and-so's child has run away. That's not as glamorous as this. When your hair's matted on one side and you've got the eye boogers in your eyes and your wife's half asleep and you're having to explain to her where you're going. No, that's really where I'm going. And then the hardest part is when they're in the truck with you and then you have to have the conversation. You're upset that you're up at 2:30 in the morning, but you got to be, bring them back, like Matthew 18 says, to gain a brother when you really just wanted to leave them there. That's the vehicles that God uses. But if you're not there, if you haven't allowed God to use those things to get you to that place, you're not there to take those phone calls. You're not there in your cubicle or on your work site or your job site. You're not there in the helicopter. You're not there at Walmart. How many times is Pastor Roslyn going to ask me to go get a case of water? But if you're not at Dollar General, you're not at Walmart, there may be something there that you need to hear or see or be a part of or take place in, because that's where God needs you at that time. You may think to yourself, I am not qualified to serve in our children's department. But if you're not there to help them slay their giants while they're young, it's beneath me to go to the youth group, to go to Forward, to take out the trash, to do these things. But if you're, someone needs to be there to hear. History changed because David heard him. It says, then David heard him shout his usual taunts to the army of Israel. And I first read that, I'm like, well, David wasn't the only one. For 40 days, the army was scared of this guy. But there was something on the inside of David that, because he was there and he had submitted himself to do whatever it was that he was asked to do by his father, that when he submitted himself and what God had placed on the inside, when he heard something from the enemy, it sparked what God had placed inside of him and it came out. And then we get the David that we know and love. Then we get the David that thousands fell on one side and 10,000s on the other. We get the David that was celebrated when he came home from war. We get King David, who is still thousands of years later regarded as the greatest leader Israel has ever had. Now, being the king of a nation may not be in your future. It's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, if you are willing to do what it is that God has asked you to do, or whatever it is that leadership and authority over you ask you to do, if we would humble ourselves and do the things that need to be done and trust that God is going to put us in a place that we need to be placed, we may be the one standing on the front line going, that's not right. That's not truth. We have so many lies floating around our society about how life should be done. But it's because the majority of us aren't standing on the front lines going, that's blasphemy. That's not true. That's not right. David stood in front of that man and said, you come at me with swords and shields and spears. I come at you. There's a dichotomy in those things where what we think we need to change society is not what we have, because Saul tried to put his armor on David. And David said, that's not what I came here to fight like. Your ways obviously aren't working. Let's try God's ways. Do you know what those other soldiers must have been thinking? When David showed up to fight the champion that they were afraid of with a strip of leather and 5 rocks. You ever heard the saying, don't bring a knife to a gunfight? David said, I'll do you one better. I'm going to go to war with something to kill robins with. And David shows up with this sling and these rocks. And I want everyone to hear me. I am not a believer or a proponent that God does bad stuff to us. I don't read that in here. I don't. Now, Paul does teach us in Romans that God uses things that happen in our life if we choose to give it to him, good or bad. So if you have a situation and it's a bad situation, a bad diagnosis, we can then turn and say, God, this ain't from you, but I am giving it to you to use for my good. What is it that Jacob was told? You meant this for my evil, but God's going to use it for my good. So God doesn't do bad things to us. There's a story when David is getting ready to go out and fight Goliath. And Saul told him the same thing his brothers told him, the same thing that Jesse told him, the same thing that Samuel thought about him. God told Samuel, but the Lord told Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height. So Samuel already had in his mind that it wasn't David. Jesse didn't think it was David. Saul saw something, saw the same thing that all those other people saw. And he told him, he said, you're not talented enough. You're a kid, man. You're too young. You're too small. And David, this is the most amazing part of this story. Now, I love the Animal Planet and the Discovery Channel. We've discussed that a few times. There's a couple of creatures on this planet. There's not many things that I'm afraid of at all. I did get bit by a dog a couple of months ago at work. That's made me a little skittish. Now everybody says, oh, he won't hurt you. That's what everybody says. And I used to say that. Can I be honest? Pastor Roslyn is not a big fan of dogs. And I've grown up with dogs my entire life. Big ones, small ones, stray ones, pet ones, wild ones, right? And I used to always think growing up, I was like, how is it that Pastor Roslyn hates dogs so much? Then one bit me on the leg. Wipe them all out. Doesn't matter to me. You can even come get mine. It don't matter to me. He bit me on the leg. I was like, And the owner was, never mind, was watching me. Anyway, so I like the Animal Planet, Discovery Channel. There's a few creatures on this planet, right? Like that I've always said, I'll never get killed by a shark because I won't be out there with them. It doesn't take but one shark week for me to go, you know what? This is deep enough. And then they showed it coming on the beach. I'm not even safe on the sand. I'm like, you know what? I'll just watch from the window. So it's sharks, right? And then there's grizzly bears and lions or any kind of cat, not messing with it. David has this to say. Now, I always was taught and assumed that David would sit on a big rock like we always picture in Jerusalem, you know, just full of big rocks out in the middle of these beautiful pastures, just huge boulders. And I just always assumed that David would sit on this rock and practice. That's not right. I was flabbergasted. That it says this, it said, but David persisted. This is after Saul tries to tell him not to, and all this stuff. It says, but David persisted. I have been taking care of my father's sheep and goats. He said, when a lion or bear comes to steal a lamb of the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. Y'all are wowing now. Watch this. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. I'm sure at that moment Saul said, you know what, buddy, fight them all for all I care. Did you know a grizzly bear, when it stands up on its back legs, can be over 9 feet tall? How tall was Goliath? They estimate between 9 and 10 feet tall. They say that he has claws like the heads of spears. So David was out doing this lowly job, and he had situations that, because he wasn't too big for the small things, prepared him that when God put him in front of the big things, he said, that man is nothing compared to the grizzly bear that I would catch by the hair of his chin and beat to death. A club, not a 9mm, not an AR-15. He didn't call in an airstrike, a club. The clubbing it to death, I can see. The catching a lion by its jaw, I've watched too much. I don't even like looking at them in the zoo anymore. My kids are all on the glass and the fence, hey, and I'm like looking for cracks in the glass, separations in the fence. He comes running across and I'm like backing up. I'm like, if that dog did this. And David's like, oh, he got a sheep. He was excited. He just said it not, oh yeah, when they'd come take a sheep, I'd chase it down and beat it to death. Say that again. So God didn't cause those animals to come and steal from David, but because David was using it as an opportunity in what God was asking him to do at the time, he was prepared when God took him. He wasn't too small. He wasn't too big for the shepherd job. He wasn't too big for the bread delivery job, so that when he stood there, God could trust him to not be too big for the moment that God needed him in. That he was already prepared. When that grizzly bear stood up 9 feet tall, man, a club, you ought to see what I can do with this slingshot. And he was ready. But he wouldn't have been there and been ready if he wouldn't have been there to hear the insults. Because you got to understand, when the battle was going on, David wasn't there. David was watching the sheep. And he got drafted into war. Actually, he just got drafted by the UPS. He showed up and then went to war. And so if you are too big for the small things, you'll be too small for the big things. We have to look at every situation that we're in life as an opportunity to do something for the kingdom of heaven, to do something for Jesus, to bring somebody with us. But we have to be willing to be there. I want to read you two more scriptures, and then I'm going to close. These are two scriptures that we read often and we're taught often in this house. And the first one is Mark chapter 9, verse 33. It says, after they arrived in Capernaum and settled into a house, Jesus asked his disciples. You ever notice how Jesus and disciples were always going somewhere? They're always on the move. They were always doing something. They weren't just sitting and waiting on God to do something for them. Jesus asked the disciples, what were you discussing on the road? But they didn't answer him because they had been arguing about which one of them was the greatest. They are sitting with God in the flesh, arguing which one of them is the greatest. Now see, we get to see this story from this side. We know that Jesus just picked fishermen and tax collectors and the lower, you know, but to them, they're trying to figure out which one of them is the greatest. And if it would have been all of us, if I was Jesus, I went, hello, the one who walked on water, the one who fed 5,000. And they're arguing over who's the greatest. And Jesus said, he sat down and called the 12 disciples over him and said, whoever wants to be first must take last place and be the servant of everyone else. What is it if in this house called Glory to Him, we started having a competition to see who could be last place? What if instead of always trying to be at the front of the line, we said, you know what, I'll stand at the back. And I'm saying that not because Pastor Hunter wants it. Jesus said it. You can argue with me, can't argue with the red words. I'm wrong a lot. Don't tell Kirsten that. I said that. She's not here. Don't tell her that. I'm wrong often. The red words are never wrong. And he says that we should strive to be less than. And just in case you thought I just plucked that one out to use today, here's another one. There is another one. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 11, it says, Jesus said, the greatest among you must be a servant, but those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Twice has Jesus made the same statement to his disciples. He's not standing out talking to a crowd. He's talking to his closest companions. He's not talking to lost people. He's talking to the ones he eats supper with. The ones who get to see him laugh and cry. The ones that know him, the closest ones to him. He's telling them, you need to be a servant. They're the ones that will start the church as we know it today. He's telling them to humble themselves. Because if you don't humble yourself, I'll have to humble you. And again, just like we've been taught here, it's better for you to bow a knee with your own choice than to be forced to do it. And the last scripture as I close is something that we all pray that we'll hear one day. And Jesus says at the end, the master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you more responsibilities." And then he says, "Let's celebrate together." If we can handle our small responsibilities, Jesus says, I promise you, if you can show yourself faithful in this small thing, then I know I can trust you to give you a big thing. But it's not doing the small thing so I can get a big thing. It's doing the small thing because God asked me to do it. It's not serving in the children's church so that one day I can come and stand on the platform. It's serving in the children's church because our children need Jesus. It's not serving in the media department so I can catch leadership's eye. It's serving in the media department so those that can't come to this house can see what God's doing in this house. It's not serving in the youth department so I can get a bigger role. It's serving in the youth department because our teenagers need Jesus. It's not sweeping the floors in case leadership can see me. It's sweeping the floors because they need to be swept. That is what David did. And because David did that, David heard Goliath that day. And history changed. So what is it that God's telling you to do? He's telling you to be somewhere. And if you overlook the small things, there's a scripture that I try to impart in our young adults all the time, that the Bible says that it's the small fox. We get so focused on the big things in life that the Bible says it's the small things that'll spoil the vine. Don't overlook the small things. Don't overlook small beginnings. Because God wants to take you from point A to point B, but you'll never get here if you're not here. Because David was there. It said, and David heard him. And so I'm asking you today, be where God tells you to be. Do what God asks you to do. Because you don't know who's waiting on you. Just like we've been taught in the series, do unto others. But if you're not there, you can't do. Amen? If you guys will stand for me. I've got two questions this morning. And the first one is this, if you would say, Pastor Hunter, I heard the things you said this morning, and they've challenged me on the inside, and I have never started a relationship, or I don't have a relationship with Jesus, and I want to do that before I leave this morning. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand just so we'll know who we're praying for. Not to embarrass you, not to call you out, not to make you come preach. And the reason why we don't bow our heads and close our eyes in here is because Jesus did what he did for you publicly. And it is okay to say publicly, Jesus, I need you. Because he said, if you'll deny me before men, that's a tough spot to be. So if there's anyone in here that would like to give their life to Jesus this morning, if you would just raise your hand just so I know who to pray for. Awesome. My second question goes like this. If you'd say, Pastor Hunter, the things you said have challenged me, and I had a relationship with Jesus, but somehow, someway, somewhere, I have walked away, I've slipped away, I've backslidden, whatever it is you want to call it, and I want to be right with Jesus before I leave, I want to come home. If that's you, if you'll raise your hand again, just so I know who to pray for, who I'm praying for, thank you. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for those hands. It's an awesome thing. This is what I would like for you to do. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask you to repeat after me, but it's not important that you hear me pray. What's important is that you hear yourself pray. And while you're praying, think about who you're praying to. It's not just saying words. You are talking to the Creator of the universe. You're praying to the one who hung on a cross and bled for you. Let's pray. Father God, here I am. And I am here to say, I am sorry. Please forgive me where I have sinned and failed you. Lord, I believe that Jesus is your Son, that He came, He died, He rose again, and He's coming back for me. Lord, cover me in your powerful blood. Let it wash me white as snow. I love you. In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you, guys.